Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. Straight up 7 a.m. on a Bud Light Football Friday. Is it just me Friday where we give you a chance to just unload, you know, unburden yourself. Get stuff off your chest. Those things that have built up over the week that you gotta get it out before the weekend. This is the opportunity. We give you the forum. The RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? And, we head live to, Boston where Mark is to call the Patriots and the Saints this weekend for Fox. By the way, if you'd like, I can get in touch, with all my buddies. And you can hang out with them tonight.
Oh, Squiggy and Lenny.
I'll get Budley and Bernsey and Wingy and Ski and Dodger and all those guys. I'll tell you what, you guys can meet up. You can go over to Harvard and you can pick on some rich kids.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
And then he took a sledgehammer. There you go. You guys can
go.
He
walked down and grabbed the sledgehammer, and he said, hey, you want some of this?
Go over to Harvard and beat up some smack kids.
What do you say, huh?
Yeah, it's a great idea. Going over to Harvard to beat up smack kids is a great idea.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something to do tonight, I'll send the fellas on down, and they'll be glad to play with you. You know, hang out with you. So there you go.
And then he took a sledgehammer.
I'll just be there. Going, E equals MC squared. Hello, fellas.
You're like, let's stop by the math building and see if there's any problems for me to solve.
If there are any equations on the grease board.
Is there okay to bring up Good Will Hunting? I think it is. Okay.
We're close.
Here we go. This is from Ryan on this Is It Just Me Friday. You brought up this guy's name earlier, and he's calling BS on it. Is it just me, or is there no way that guy's real name is Wink Martindale? Since the game show host, I've never heard the first name Wink or the last name Martindale. So what are the odds that the next time I hear those names, they're together?
Right.
His name's not Wink, right?
No, it's Don Martindale. Don Martindale.
Wink is because of the obvious connection to the game show host. So that's why
his last name is Martindale. He's a great coach. A good, really fun guy. He coached here. He was coaching linebackers here for a long time. He's a really good coach. He's a good guy and very aggressive. He's one of those guys that just is gonna, you know, bring, quote unquote, he's bringing pressure. He's like, when all else fails, go zero. That's kind of his. Go zero coverage, right? Straight man to man across and bring more than you have the block. That's his MO, if you will.
All right, here's one. Is it just me or Philip Lindsay was just a hometown creation and isn't very good? Well, the Philip Lindsay fan club, of which I know there are a lot of you out there, and I get it, but that taking a bit of a hit. He does have a touchdown. He scored a touchdown last week, but he had 7 carries last night for 5 yards and was not involved in the passing game at all. And so through 3 games, Philip Lindsay, through 3 games, he has 20 carries for 32 yards, averaging a robust 1.6 yards per carry.
Inconceivable.
And has 1 catch for 22 yards. Although he has scored 2 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
And the catch is for a touchdown.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay's a good player. He's limited. Like I've said, you know, for the last couple of years, he's just a guy that, to me, that doesn't fit well. He's not an every down back. And so he is a tell if you will, when he comes in the game, because you're it limits you what you can do, and so that's a hard thing, because now all of a sudden you're saying hey, everybody and their brother's uncle knows that we don't trust him in pass pro. So now if he's in the backfield, we got to get a free release. So what are we going to do? We're going to motion him out and go empty. Like, you know, and then if you're a defense coordinator, you say, okay, this is like when they get into this formation or this guy is in their backfield, they're either running the ball or they're going to free release him. And so we're going to get some form of empty. So let's bring pressure opposite the side that we know they're going to slide to. So if we give them a look where they're going to slide to a side, if the quarterback isn't a guy that's changing protections, now we can overload another side, and you're going to get you're forcing somebody to throw it hot. You're forcing that guy to get the ball out of his hand. And it's hard to convert third downs when the ball has to come out right now. You know, you're throwing a little dart to the outside, and the next thing you know, it's a third down and six, and you tackle it for 4 yards, and you're off the field. And that is the dilemma of having a guy that doesn't have the total kind of quote-unquote package. And that's – honestly, George Payton, this is my belief, George Payton saw that on film. He knew that on film, and that's why he wasn't interested. And that's why you see Javonte Williams – and Melvin Gordon, both of them three down backs. You're not tipping your hand when you have a three down back.
This one, is it just me? Lindsay has always been a product of being the local guy. He's never been more than a dime a dozen running back.
I don't agree with that though. I mean, he runs hard. He's got speed. He's got talent. He just, you know, in a day and age where, he just doesn't. Like I said, he doesn't have the total skill set. If he's just back there, your first and second down back, and just running the ball, he can be an effective guy. He just, you know, he's not a dime or dozen. He's a good player. He's just not a total package player, in my mind. That's how I assess him.
Time now for our keys to the game, presented by Nova Home Loans. All right, how do you see it?
Well, listen, I think the Broncos are a better football team. I think that Mac Jones has a lot of, Mac.
Someone's been looking at a lot of Patriot film this week.
Yeah.
Struggling.
I've been breaking down the Jets New England game, but I think that Zach Wilson, of all the rookie quarterbacks, is as talented and off schedule talent as anybody in the league, man. He can move. He can motor. I think he's fallen too in love. He's got a hero arm. You know, he's hero ball. Too in love with his fastball, and that's a problem. He will turn the ball over, as evidenced last week through throwing four interceptions in the first half of that ball game. And they don't protect very well. So they can run the ball. I just think the Broncos are a better football team all the way around, more balanced football team, playing more complementary football. I think the Broncos come away with a nice 10-point victory or so.
All right. Sounds good. Those were our keys to the game, presented by Nova Home Loans. The Is It Just Me's are rolling in hot and heavy. And somebody is coming after Mark, and you know how much I enjoy those. We'll get to that next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, here we go. Is It Just Me Friday? They're rolling in. How about this one on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Is it just me, or is Zach Wilson and Drew Locke the exact same quarterback? If people have been listening closely this week, as you've been describing Zach Wilson in the very, very early going, I've heard a lot of Drew Locke type challenges that Zach Wilson needs to address.
I think that's fair. I don't know about like his understanding, like the protection stuff is not seeing ghosts with Zach Wilson or perceived pressure or not understanding protection. I don't see that on film as much as I see the Jets just not knowing, like the Jets just not being very good up front, like getting beat. You know, Becton is out. That's what I see more is issues with them getting beat one-on-one on a consistent basis and having like instant pressure in your face, that type of thing. But yeah, with the arm arrogance or whatever, yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that I see. And then there's other things just from, you know, how we talk about, and you and I have talked about receivers and how many, you know, interceptions that a quarterback gets tagged with really come from bad routes or lack of understanding or, you know, lack of, you know, your primary is running a great route, but your secondary guys aren't creating the distribution and the spacing that you need. And so people can cheat on it. Like how many of those picks go directly to the receivers? And there's a few of those as well. So, but yeah, I think for the most part, I think it's fair, Mike. I think it's a fair comparison.
All right, this one's from Ken in Aurora. Is it just me or you two are lucky that Paxton Lynch's dad is as lazy as Paxton, or you two would be in deep trouble?
Gee, Ben, this is like new depths. We've sunk the new depths. Now we're smearing his dad.
Well,
it's not good enough to smear Paxton. We're going to smear his dad.
It is day 3000. So,
yeah, it is. Actually, no, day 3,000. No. Hey, congratulations, guys. That's an incredible accomplishment. 3,000.
It's day number 2,300. We got to day number 2,300 of the Paxton
Lynch. There's a 3 in there.
Campaign.
There's a 3 in there somewhere. Close enough.
Yes. So we got there. But, yes, in reference to Tom Brady's dad coming to his son's defense and going after Bill Belichick this week. So we... very appropriate, very timely text there from Ken and Aurora.
All right.
On this most notable of smear campaign days. So,
here's the deal. Like, I mean, if we really want to kind of boil it down to its essence, Mike, here's the deal: is that Paxton's dad wouldn't come after me because my dad would beat up Paxton's dad, right? My dad called. Remember when you were a kid, you say my dad calls your dad out,
right?
Right. When I was a kid, when my son was a little kid, Mike, he used to prance around the neighborhood because he was really proud that he used to say, I have the fattest dad in the neighborhood. And that was a sense of pride. He's like, my dad's way fatter than yours.
He's fat.
big sense of pride. I was like, let's calm down on the fat talk.
Uh-huh.
The fat shaming, son. 5-year-old.
This one's from Millennial Blake. We love Millennial Blake.
Oh, yes.
He says, is it just me, or did I see Mark at King Supers yesterday? I mean, it could have been another hideous boomer with a bald spot, but I thought I'd ask.
Oh.
That's good.
That's cute.
I like it.
I know right from the start.
He worked the bald spot in. I like that.
Right.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We got him.
Yeah, that's cute. But here's the problem. How could you have seen me in King Supers from your mom's basement?
Oh!
Hey-o.
Oh, it's on. It is on.
Let's go. I like mixing it up. It's good, clean fun,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, let's go. Let's mix it up.
It's fine.
All right, chop
Come
it
at
up.
Me. Come get a taste. It's all good.
Regarding my buddies coming down to hang out with you in Boston, does this mean that Stink has to shave his back?
No, my back is not. I don't do that. I don't have a hairy back. My back is supple.
Shave the back. Shave the back for the boys.
No, I'm not gonna shave my back for
one.
The boys.
You love
weekend.
That one.
Oh my gosh, you'll never live that down. You'll never live that down. Yeah, turn that up a little bit. Yeah, it's maybe the single worst thing you've ever said on the radio.
Yeah.
It's your worst moment.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's sometimes you say something and you're like,
As soon as it passes through your lips, you're just like, ooh, like to have that one back.
Right. And then
and you're just like, it's like you're reaching out with your hands. Right. You know, like in a right. movie, you're like, no.
Right.
You know?
And then you're thinking to yourself at that time, maybe nobody heard it.
Right.
And if you're like me or the guys that I went to college with, everybody heard it.
Like this one. Is it just me? It couldn't have been Market King Supers. We all know Lisa was there getting the ingredients for this Sunday's dinner prep.
That's right.
All right. We appreciate the fact you guys listen. You know, it's good. You're listening. I like that. Here's one. Early question mark. Is this a trap game for the Broncos? Two top 10 defenses going at it. Wilson threw four interceptions, but New England only converted them into 26 points. Could have easily been 35.
It's a trap.
Is this a trap game? I mean, the Broncos all week they've said, "Hey, you know, we're not taking the poison. You know, we're not taking the cheese, the poison cheese. You know,
mm-hmm.
You believe them?
Yeah,
delicious."
Like I said, Mike, this is a talented they're talented now. I mean, they can run the ball. They've proved against New England they can run the ball. I mean, you can't overcome four turnovers, right? I mean, you can't overcome four picks in the first half. It's just virtually impossible. And they're a talented football team. They play a very simplistic, you know, set on the defensive side, but they play it pretty well. You know, they're just not giving you, you're going to have to essentially earn it because they're just not going to give up a bunch of explosives that, you know, and every explosive, and I learned this from Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is the guy who taught me, the head coach of the Jets, that every explosive in the NFL equates to about 2.4 points per explosive. And that's defined as a 10 yard plus run and a 20 yard plus pass. So, they're not giving up a lot of those explosives. As a matter of fact, going back through the recesses of my mind here, looking at the last week where New England scored, what did they score, 26 points? You know, they had a run, maybe one run over 10 yards, and maybe I think they had two passes over 20 yards. That's it. And you're not going to give up with a plus four turnover ratio. It's amazing that they didn't give up 35 points or 40 points. So they're better than you think. They're better than their record would indicate. They're better than you think. And they can get streaky. Zach Wilson in game number one first game of the season, he got really streaky in the second half and was actually very good.
Hey, if you're headed to the game on Sunday, cordially invite you to stop by and say what's up to me and D-Mac. We're going to be broadcasting Coors Light's Fan Football pregame presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We're at an awesome new spot, the Ironworks, right next to Mile High Station, right by the stadium. So we'll be there from noon to kickoff, so stop on by. Four Down Territory coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
I expected to be crazy. You know, I expected to be ridiculous. I expected to be like, you know, the glory days in like 2015, 2014, and 2013, all of those runs that we had, 2012. I expected it to be like that. You know, we were coming in, you know, 2-0. You know, Broncos country is seeing the type of football that we played over the last 2 weeks. And now we're coming home. I expected to be rowdy. I expected to be crazy. You know, I expected to be, you know, a great atmosphere to go play football.
Man, what an environment it's going to be. And for all you Bronco fans who weren't able to go to games last year and to be back in your environment and tailgating and all your game day traditions, I'm so happy for you because it's something that I know is so important to so many of you. So it's going to be a great environment. It really will. And I'm curious, Mark, based on your first two games this year that you've called, that surge of emotion for the home team, has it helped them? do you get a sense it's maybe made him a little tight or almost a little over-eager to start? Or has it been something you haven't noticed at all?
No, it's definitely something I've noticed, especially in Philly last week, where they were rabid. I mean, it was exciting. The home team fed off the energy, really dominated the first quarter and a half of that football game. Unfortunately for Philly fans, they weren't able to kind of capitalize, and so it waned over time. But it was really cool. And I will tell you this, talking to players, Mike, I get the access to be on the field before the game, so I get an opportunity to talk to a bunch of guys. And
I'm kind of a big deal.
Nah, it's not even that I'm a big deal. I just am there, and
people know me.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you're right, Ben. Ben, you're right, 100%. I'm a big deal. People know me. They come up to talk to me. Some of them I give the time. Some of them I don't. Some of them I'm just like, hey, guy, how's it going? You healthy?
Yeah,
great.
Some of the guys, really.
Maybe don't wear a bra next time.
Yeah, as excited as the fans were to be back in the stadium, I get the sense that the players are even more excited. You hear in Vaughn's voice how excited he is. They're more excited to be in front of their fans because last year was so weird. It was so odd. So that's the sense I get.
Next in four down territory.
Second down. I think it's very rare, but he's got some rare traits. I think he's, we've talked about it here. He's got a very bright future, and he's showing up early in the season, early in his career. And so I think he's going to be fun to watch for a lot of years.
Pat Shurmur, already impressed with Javonte Williams. A good three-down back. We've talked about how not just his running, but pass catching, but outstanding blitz pickup. All the things you want from a three-down back. Melvin Gordon not only needs to look over his shoulder, but, Mark, are we rapidly approaching the point where Javonte Williams needs to become the featured back?
Yeah, I think he's kind of been the featured back, Mike, even though it's been split. He's been in a lot of critical situations through the first 2 weeks, hasn't he?
Yep.
Like, he's been in critical coming off the goal line against the Giants. He's been in critical third downs. They have a lot of faith in him. There's no question about it. Now, I think you'll see that gradual transition where he's going to get more opportunities. But, yeah, I think, that's not being derogatory toward Melvin Gordon. It's not the backhanded compliment. I mean, Melvin Gordon's a good back, but I think Javonte just gives them a little bit more juice on all three downs. That's just my take in general.
You moved up to get him. You moved up to get him with the idea he could be your version of Dalvin Cook. Don't hold him back. If you like him that much and all he's doing is going out and validating everything you saw, what's the point in waiting? Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Darnold's going to keep and get it into the end zone for the touchdown. Yes! All eyes to McCaffrey. And Sam Darnold takes it in, his second rushing touchdown of the year.
So you may be wondering, is it just coincidence that Sam Darnold, released from the clutches of Adam Gase, seems to be playing better? Well, maybe it's not just a coincidence, because as Kevin Clark from The Ringer points out, you think the Gase thing is a funny little meme because Tannehill and Darnold improved post-Gase. And because the Broncos won the Super Bowl immediately after Gase left. Then you see Gase left LSU after 2002 and they won the national title in 2003. Then you realize how deep it goes. I regret to inform you, this is not a joke, that Adam Gase's Michigan High School Marshall won the state title in the first season after his 96 graduation. Mark, is Adam Gase the cooler?
Wow. Wow.
Man, if he sees this, those eyes are going to be just flying all over the place.
You have great eyes. Dude, listen, if your franchise is in a shambles, you hire him and you just take the... You hire him immediately. You just take this year as a lost year because you know next year you're winning a championship.
Right?
That's not a bad strategy.
Next.
Not a bad strategy.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Coming back home to Boston, it's our second home here, and the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root against against or against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, and but we, our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
Tom Brady's father.
We?
Hey,
you got a turd in your pocket?
We.
You and your turd are going to beat the Patriots handily?
So he went after Bill Belichick by saying that Tom Brady, his son, has been vindicated by what happened last year in Tampa.
We expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
And then you had his longtime trainer, fitness guru, nutrition guru, Alex Guerrero, come out and rip Belichick this week, saying that Belichick never evolved with Brady, and that Brady should have been given more special treatment as he got into his 40s and not being treated as that just one of the guys that Tom Brady can be yelled at just like anybody else, that Belichick kind of, you know, used him over the years as that example. So what do you make of open season on Bill Belichick, and are you going to use that as your icebreaker when you sit down with Belichick later today to start the conversation?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
Yeah. Like, all right, so tell me about your lack of evolution, and how come you ran Brady out of town? Yeah, that'll go over like...
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no.
I do like the idea of you walking in and saying, hey, is this room bugged?
That's funny.
That's funny.
If you can't accept that humor, then maybe you're just not funny.
Because if you missed it, Peyton Manning, when he and Eli were doing their thing on Monday night, they had Gronk on.
Uh-huh.
And Peyton brought up how he thought that the Patriots may have bugged his locker when they came to New England.
Uh-huh.
So I think that you should bring that up with Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that.
Neither.
Do you think he'd find that funny?
I think he would. Coming from you, sure.
Yeah. Hey, are you taping this?
Yeah.
Where's the camera?
But see, I think you're going to be a little intimidated. So I think you're going to walk in there and you're going to be like, hi, Bill. Hi, Mr. Belichick. Remember me from when we played you guys in Washington back in the days? Remember? Oh, that was fun, wasn't it?
Remember
Lawrence Taylor? Oh, boy, Lawrence Taylor really scared me. Oh, he made me pee down my leg.
Wow. That was hurtful. That was a little, you know.
Very nice.
There's part of it, it's just like, that's so wrong, but I think there's a little bit of truth.
There might be a little truth to that.
That's probably why it stings a little bit. It's probably why it stings a little bit.
All right.
Mr. Belichick.
That's right. Oh, please. We forgot about that. You gotta find Zolak at some point this Sunday.
I gotta take a secret picture of Zolak.
Because you know that tool will be wearing his sunglasses inside.
You know he's coming with his aviators. Oh my gosh, there's no question.
Absolutely. You gotta get a picture for me. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports takes out there. We'll roll into those next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. On this Bud Light Football Friday, Is It Just Me Friday? Got this one from our buddy Troy Rank. Is it just me, or is the only thing better than NFL Wild Card Weekend NFL Super Wild Card Weekend? So check this out. Wild Card Weekend will now have 2 wild card games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and 1 on Monday night.
Yeah.
Super Wild Card Weekend. I love it.
Boy, I tell you what, the Monday night one, though, short week. You got to play on Monday night, and then you got to, the winner has to go play a playoff game. You want to talk about disadvantage. One less day? That's a tough one, Mike. I mean, it's great for us as fans. Don't get me wrong, but boy, as a player, you'd hate that.
Well, yeah, but if you play on, well, no, 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 probably how they'll do it is if you play on a on one of the Saturday games or Sunday games, probably definitely the you'll be turned around and playing on that following Saturday, and whoever plays on that Monday will be automatically playing the following Sunday. So, you know, people are going to have short weeks regardless. I mean, you could play on a Sunday and have it turn around and play on a Saturday the next week.
Right, but I'm just
so telling
you. I'm not crying. I'm just telling you it's a disadvantage.
Okay.
For the team that wins, you're going to be facing a team that had at least one or two more days of rest and preparation. How can that be fair? It's not fair. If it's your team that has to play on Monday night and has to turn around and play a team that played on Saturday, Mike, or Sunday, and your team loses and looks ill-prepared, are you going to be pissed? If it's the Broncos playing Monday night in the playoffs, they fight and scratch and claw, and they get in Monday night,
right,
and win, and then they come and they play a team that had two more days of prep. You gonna be upset about that as a fan,
dude? Under that scenario, everything at that point is gravy.
I understand.
Everything is gravy.
Like, I understand that, but there, if you think that people aren't going to be stomping their feet, I mean, as a player, I'd be irritated. That's all. It would bother me, but
All right. You
have to deal with what you have to deal with. I get it. You know, life ain't fair. I know. I mean, I've said that to my kids and my kids and everything else. You know, life isn't fair. But yeah, that just seems harsh.
Is it just me? All right, hold on. This is from Kevin and Littleton. Mark, I watched Red Dawn last night. Is it just me, or should you have had a bigger role given your superior acting ability?
Yeah, there's no question. The producer of that show, Trip Vinson, called me afterwards and goes, you were the best actor we had in that movie.
30 seconds left. Just get us in field goal range.
It wasn't good.
Come on, Hector, yeah. You got to stop with the Cowboy. Get Danny on the ball.
It wasn't, Mike, it wasn't what we would call an instant classic. It's probably not even a cult classic.
What the hell are you doing?
There's probably nothing classic about it.
Oh, sir.
Yeah.
Well,
that was just well done by me.
You, the movie cost $65 million to make.
Okay.
All right. How much of that did they pay you?
Not much, but go ahead.
The box office gross was $51 million. So, yeah.
It lost
money.
That's okay, though.
What do you mean? It's okay. It lost like $15 million.
Yeah, but you're going to make that back up in all the times it plays. And
that's right. It stinks.
I mean, it's not like you're going to make a lot of
money. Does that surprise you that it actually made $51 million?
Yeah, it does. It shocks me that it made $51 million. By the way, one of the reasons the cost, it wouldn't have been that costly, Mike, but this is kind of an interesting little history lesson, if you will.
Okay.
So originally, when that was, it got delayed, the release of that movie got delayed by like 2 years. Originally, when it was supposed to be released, the Chinese government, went bananas over it because they didn't like it being depicted as China came and so the first Red Dawn was Russia came and invaded the United States,
right.
This one was China, and that's how it was originally scripted, and they made the whole movie, and the Chinese government threw a fit and delayed the movie. The United States delayed the release of it. They said, no, we're not going to release it. So through a bunch of negotiations, they had to go back and CG, what is it called? CGI? They had to change, what is that, Benny? CGI. They had to change all the uniforms to, I think they made it North Korea or whatever. But they had to change everything post-production. So it took 2 years not only to negotiate with the Chinese government, then there was nothing going to go on, then they had to go back and change all the uniforms and stuff in post-production. So it was like a 2-year delay before it finally got released.
Wow.
Kind of interesting, right?
Kind of interesting.
You didn't know that, did you?
So you think you were the best actor, huh, in the movie?
Well, yeah, at that time, Hemsworth was just a young little whippersnapper. He's
still
a pup. I had to take him under my wing.
Learning his way around.
Still learning his craft. And I said to him, hey, you might want to kind of play it this way.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sounds to me, folks, like Mark needs to be humbled a little bit.
No. I was beginning to give up on you.
It's great to see you, O'Neill.
And you walked into
that. It took me a while to get here from the airport. Small town transportation.
So this is Springfield.
This is it. In all of its glory. You know what? Maybe you should do a little research while you're here. That way you can write your next book about a small town.
I can't remember what I was supposed to say.
Pretty quiet around here.
Let me do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind of wish.
Well, you had nowhere to fish.
Hey,
look at it this way. You had nowhere to go but up after that one, right?
Right.
And you clearly have. You clearly did. So,
yeah, people are knocking down my doors to be in movies and stuff, right?
That's right. There you go.
Mark Schlereth, handsome son of a bitch, get out here.
There you go. All right.
Oh, yeah.
This one. Mark's Red Dawn is a classic, all right. Classic pile of, okay.
I said it. There was nothing classic about it. Boy, oh, boy.
Made $51 million, though. Someone wants to know, did your character live in Red Dawn?
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, I'm still here. Coach Dolan.
Coach Dolan's still here, right?
Coach Dolan, the rise of Coach Dolan. That's what it should be. You know how the scene opens? I'm in a cave. I'm gruff. I'm gruff, you know, got a beard. I'm shaving down, I'm tightening up the beard with a Bowie knife, you know, like a Rambo knife.
Right.
I'm gristled, I'm dirty, I got some cuts on my face and stuff. Hands are crooked, all my fingers are crooked. And here come the kids. We went on our scouting mission, Coach Dolan. And I just am really like, what'd you find? You know? And that's how it starts.
That's how it starts.
We're taking back over the country.
That's right. Wolverines! Were you Wolverines in that movie?
Yeah.
You guys were Wolverines, right? Because they were in the original one, too. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we were the Wolverines.
Very good. Okay. Let's get back into this game. We allowed Mark a little dalliance there where he was able to just sort of...
Yeah.
You know, kind of just look and remember. And remember that time I was in a movie? Yeah.
Right.
That was cool. Remember that time I was on Ballers with The Rock? Yeah, that was cool. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's get back into it. Is it just me, says this texture on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Is it just me or I'm starting to believe Teddy Bridgewater can be the answer long term?
That's an interesting question.
I think that's just you. Oh, are you saying no? Are you saying you're starting to think it too?
No. I'm not there yet. I've learned my lesson from the Simasaya days, you know, where I got excited and then you baited me into saying something really dumb and then you've never let it go. So I've learned my lesson, but, you know, hit me up after week 10, week 11. Hit me up after this stretch of Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. How does he play in those games? Because then I'll really be interested, even regardless of the record, if he's still playing well enough to give you a chance to win these games and keep you in these games. There, you know, when you said this to me yesterday, it really made me think, Mike, because I don't think of him this way. When you said, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is 29 years old.
Not yet. He'll be
right
29 in November.
No, in November. I mean, and you think about the way the league has changed. Remember when 29 was you were exiting your prime,
right?
As a quarterback, you're still on the cusp of starting to enter your prime as a quarterback in today's NFL. Like you can play really well into your or mid-30s, late-30s, even 40s. Brady's 67 years old right now. I mean,
do you think of quarterbacks now as, in terms of, they can and will play till 40? Barring significant injury, that you now think of quarterbacks as 40. They will go to 40. So right. when you start thinking about, hey, Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing for the next, you know, the Broncos got to deal with him for the next whatever up to 40 is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I for me, 40 is a little bit of the outlier, but I think they can play really well. Yeah. Late 30s, like 37, 38 before, like you can see Ben Roethlisberger starting to wear down, but he's taking a beating, you know? Very much like Elway in that when you're athletic or you're big, they don't protect you as much, you know? And so early in Elway's career, they really, well, that was a earlier time too, but Big Ben's career, he didn't get protected as much. Cam didn't get protected as much. Cam Newton, because he's so big and athletic. And those guys, they allow those guys to get hit more than your traditional drop back quarterbacks like Brady or like other guys. So, yeah, you know, late 30s, you could still be playing really well, 36, 37, 38.
This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.